Please pray with me. Almighty God, you gave your apostles grace truly to preach and to believe your word. Grant that we might love what they believe and live what they taught through Christ our Lord. Amen. 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 Please be seated. It is such a joy to be able to say Merry Christmas to you all. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Hunter Myers. I am the student director here at the Cathedral of St. Luke and St. Paul, and it is such a joy, again, to be here with you all on this Christmas day. It was a Christmas day, I'm not gonna share how old I am, but it was a while ago, and my grandmother would always take us every year to her midnight service at her church. So many of my earliest Christmas memories were spent at 1:30 in the morning, trying to stay up just to 6 o'clock to make the whole Christmas morning start earlier, but usually I ended up crashing around 1:31 in the morning or so. And so this one year was the year that the Left Behind movies came out. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with the Left Behind movies and books, they're all about Jesus' coming again, the rapture, when Jesus would come. It's a fictional account of Jesus coming back and people being left behind. And so as an 8-year-old, I was looking for the rapture everywhere. And I was trying to figure out where Jesus was gonna come back, when he was gonna come back. I was like, you know, what if he comes back on Christmas? No one would expect it. Everybody's looking forward to presents. Everybody's looking forward to good food. What if Jesus comes back on Christmas morning? And this is rolling through my mind at 1:30 in the morning as an 8-year-old. And so as I'm drifting off to my Christmas sleep, I remember praying specifically, Jesus, come back. But not today. And then years later, when I was reading the words of St. Augustine, I was struck by that memory when he said so openly and so honestly, Lord, make me chaste, but not yet. There is something so simple in Christmas that we can often miss it. There are many ways we experience Christmas. I think the most familiar way we see in movies and perhaps with young children is haste. Or sorry, not haste, euphoria, excuse me, euphoria. Dean Pete was telling me that this Christmas morning, his son, Bo, went out, opened the door, and went, whoa, yeah! That is, I think, the epitome we think of, like, Christmas euphoria, a child running into the room so excited they see their stockings, maybe they don't even see their stockings, they just go for the biggest gift in the room. Maybe that's the gift we experience when we sing our favorite hymns, when we see those we love coming off of that plane, ready to embrace us finally. There's this euphoria that comes with Christmas, so much so that we can want to keep moving on from one euphoria to the next. But for many of us as well, Christmas and this holiday season brings anxiety. Maybe it's the anxiety of memories around this time of year that we'd rather not relive. Maybe it's the anxiety of sitting through a meal and thinking, don't say that thing, please don't say that thing, please don't say that thing, and then guess what they do? They say that thing. But I think of both those things, whether you're euphoric this Christmas morning, whether you're anxious this Christmas morning, I think the danger for all of us when it comes to Christmas, not just the Christmas day, but the Christmas season, is haste. We can move so quickly from present to present, from meal to meal, from family gathering to family gathering. And some of us, maybe we don't have places to stay, maybe we don't have family to visit, maybe we don't have gifts to open, and we just want the day to go through as quickly as we can. Haste can sometimes help us miss what is so special and beautiful about Christmas. And for those of us not familiar with a church tradition, Advent, the season 4 weeks before this, is a season of preparation. We're preparing our hearts for the joy of Jesus. We're examining our hearts. We're examining our world, anticipating the coming of Jesus at Christmas and looking forward to his coming resurrection. So the question I want us to ask today, we've been spending a season preparing for this Christmas day, and it's here. How do we not miss it? How do we not make haste through the joy of Christmas? And more importantly, not just Christmas Day, but the Christmas season and the reality of Jesus, the Word made flesh. And I think in order to answer that question, we would be wise to look at those who were there that very first Christmas morning. So for those of you, this is my first time getting to share from the Word of God here at Cathedral Church, and I'm gonna give you guys a little cue into how I tend to preach, okay? You guys good with that? Give me a strong nod. I'm used to working with students, so I need some congregational participation, all right? Everybody say amen. Amen. All right, let's do this thing. So something I do often is I will be reading the passage and I'll say pause, okay? And I'll say pause for many reasons. One of the reasons is that I want us to pick our heads up from maybe the text to what's going on out here. And then also to be very clear when the Bible's speaking and when I'm speaking, because I want us to be drawn into this text and not just into what I'm saying. Amen? All right, so if you have your Bibles, if you open the Black Pew Bibles in front of you, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, the gospel reading, starting at verse 15. That is page 857 in the Black Pew Bibles. I'll give you guys a moment to go there. Picking up at Luke chapter 2, verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, pause. All right, we're already pausing. We're going to start this early. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, what just happened with the angels? For those of you here last night at the Christmas Eve service, we talked about the first part of this passage, where there are shepherds in the field minding their own business. They were close to Bethlehem, and this is the time when the census or the registry was happening all over the Roman world. And you can imagine these shepherds, if we use our imagination just a little bit, we can imagine these shepherds in a field away from all the hubbub and craziness going on in Bethlehem. And they're just, I just imagine them speaking to one another saying, man, it's so quiet out here. Yeah. Can you imagine how crazy it is in Bethlehem? Totally, dude. Can you imagine trying to get a hotel room tonight? Oh my goodness, it must be a madhouse. All the while, Mary and Joseph are trying to find room, and they find themselves in a stable. And then these angels appear to these shepherds, these shepherds away from all the hubbub, minding their own business. The Lord appears to them, and he gives them a message. And the message says, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly they burst into this first gloria. Pause, sorry. They burst into this first gloria. They say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And then they disappear. So this is where our story picks up today. The angels are on their way, and the shepherds say to one another, after seeing this miraculous sign from the angels, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. The shepherds are responding to this sign of a promise. The Lord's saying, a Savior is born. Here's how you're going to know. You're going to go find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. And so they run with haste to see this sign. So this is the first Christmas haste we see in human history. The shepherds running to see Jesus. And you know what? That's not a bad thing. I think we would do well if we did consistently run with haste where Christ is, where he is at work in our world. But for some reason, St. Luke draws a comparison with Mary. Here's what he says. And when they saw it, they made known, this is the shepherd, saying that they had been, the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Pause. For some reason, when I think of what we're supposed to do, what we're called to be as Christians, I think haste in going to tell people about Jesus seems to be the proper response. But for some reason, St. Luke is drawing a comparison here. In verse 19, it starts with, but Mary. As a matter of fact, Mary herself traveled with haste not long before this, when she had first been told that at the Annunciation that she was going to bear a son through the power of the Holy Spirit. It says immediately following that, she went with haste to see the sign that the Lord promised her. Her cousin, Elizabeth, was with child. There's this pattern of responding to this promise, but Mary, on this first Christmas day, she's a contrast to that. How? How is Mary a contrast to that? Well, it says it right here in verse 19. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds and all who heard their story were wondering at what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary's posture on that first Christmas day was one of pondering. Mary's posture was one of pondering. Have you thought about how remarkable it is that the Mother of God, on that first Christmas morning, she was sitting with how what was happening in front of her was bigger than she even understood. That very first Christmas morning, even the Mother of God was trying to wrap her mind and wrestle with the significance of the beauty that was happening, even as Christ cried in her arms. She was pondering what was happening. See, we often read this account in light of the whole gospel story. We read this account in the light of the fact that we knew Christ was promised in the Old Testament. We knew that Jesus was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. We knew that he suffered under Pontius Pilate. We knew that he was crucified, died, and was buried. We know that he was raised according to the scriptures. We know that he ascended into heaven. We'll say those words in just a few minutes here when we respond to our faith in the Nicene Creed. We read in light of the story of knowing the end. But do we ponder this Christmas day, this Christmas season, how beautiful it is? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Just because we know more doesn't mean we have any less reason to ponder this Christmas, to not make haste, but to sit and wrestle with this day. I don't know about y'all, but when I was younger especially, and my wife can attest to this, I still respond this way to this day. When I'm out of my depth, I get a little bit uncomfortable. Does anybody else get uncomfortable when you feel a little bit out of your depth? Maybe you don't feel like you're smart enough. Maybe you don't feel like you're cool enough. Maybe you don't feel like whatever it is when you're out of your depth. But the older I get, the more I love being out of my depth. Because it means that there's something that's bigger than I am. I'm sitting there, when I talk with someone who knows music, and I mean knows music, I'm sitting there thinking like, man, I want to know more. That being out of your depth, I think sometimes we run away from that experience. We run away from feeling like, oh my goodness, this is bigger than me. Why? Because we feel small. But you know what? That's a good thing. When our posture is pondering, when we're out of our depth, that's okay. We can sit and be in that space together. The first time I ever walked into an Anglican church, I thought I was in an entirely different world. I had no idea what was happening. There were robes, and then one day here I am standing on top of this giant wood thing and talking to you guys about Jesus. So the Lord works in mysterious ways, first of all, but more than that, being out of your depth is actually very key to the Christian life because it puts you in a place where you can ponder, and that's where Mary and those who were first there the Christmas morning found themselves. And I believe it's where we find ourselves again this Christmas morning. On that Christmas night, when I prayed for Jesus to come back, but not that Christmas day, I was doing two things wrong. First, I was desiring the good gifts over the giver. So I'm still repenting from that every day. And the second thing, I was rushing into the end of the story. And it's so easy to do that. It's so easy in a culture where we're thinking like, all right, but how's this wrap up, you know? Like the Hobbit movies are three movies too long. You know, we want to get to the end of the story. You know, we want to rush through. But y'all, can I encourage us that we would be like Mary this day and have a posture of pondering? Because we've spent an Advent season preparing for what? This is the Sunday school answer, Jesus. We've been spending a season preparing for the incarnate Jesus. But the question I want us to ask today, are we pondering him? Are we pondering Christ? Are we pondering this gospel we are adopted into? So today, in a day that can be overrun by haste, I want to challenge us to do two things. This is where that participation is going to come back in. I'm going to say a word, and you're going to say it back, and then we're going to go back and forth like that, okay? Everybody good? All right. We're going to pause. Oh, we can do better. I know it's Christmas morning. We're going to pause and ponder. Pause and ponder. Y'all, this is my challenge for us this Christmas morning. The day is going to keep going. That's not an option for us, but can I encourage you to pause and recognize what's happening? Who's sitting in the room with you? The first thing I want is to pause and ponder today, and I think we would be missing out on the joy of Christmas if we didn't pause and ponder today, are God's good gifts. The people sitting in the room with you, the food on your table, the joy it is to have breath, to have perhaps a roof over our heads when so many don't, to consider more what God has given. And I want to push a little bit further into that as well. This is going to get a little bit existential, so hold on to your hats. Have you thought about how funny it is that we, yeah, I know she's feeling it too. I love it. It's great. How funny it is, the gift of yourself too. And I'm not saying the gift of yourself, like go home and take a bubble bath. Like I'm talking about the gift of yourself, like we see things, we experience things. You are a finite articulation of an infinite and invisible God. Have you sat with that? Have you paused and pondered that? I love working with teenage students, but one of my favorite things is when they say, oh my goodness, I know how this goes. I'm like, do you? The best part is I can say the same thing to adults. Do you? Especially when people claim to know what they want. They claim to know all that they want. They claim to know all that they are. I feel like we can't understand the incarnation and still wonder, do I really know myself? Do we pause and ponder all that God has made us for? All the gifts he gives, including our very selves. The next thing we ought to pause and ponder today is the incarnate Jesus, the Word made flesh. Do we pause and ponder that today we celebrate when Christ came into history, when the infinite, invisible God, the Son who created all things, visible and invisible, put on flesh? Do we pause and ponder that the incarnate Son still cried even though he knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead? Do we pause and ponder that the incarnate Son sat with people in their grieving, that he took the time, his immeasurably valuable time, and he talked to a woman at the well when nobody else would? Do we pause and ponder the beauty of the incarnation? There's so much richness to understand when we think that Christ is both fully God and fully man. Do we ponder that? I encourage you to do so today. And the last thing I'm going to challenge us to pause and ponder is the beauty of the gospel. In our Titus reading, I found that as someone who gets to teach from the Word of God, by some grace I'll never fully understand, that I'm still out of my depth in, there are some texts that it's just better to sit back and let it speak for itself. So this is the text we read earlier is one of those texts, but I'm going to read it again. This is Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 7. I think this is a beautiful, succinct summary of the gospel, and I encourage us to just pause and ponder these words right now. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Pause. Do we sit with that? I encourage you to do so today. Now, often the church can be called out, sometimes rightfully so, for pondering. We think that sometimes that being a Christian is pondering these big eternal things and then never doing anything. But can I challenge us and push back on that a little bit, saying that pondering Jesus isn't retreating from the world. It's the persistent refusal to let the world remain the same in light of Jesus. That when we ponder Christ, what we're actually doing is allowing the Word of God, the reality of Christ, the life of the triune God to enter into our world, to sit with us and change us from the inside out. It's not an act of retreat. It's an act of advancement of the kingdom of God. So when I challenge us and when I encourage us in this Christmas season, not just this Christmas day, but this Christmas season, to pause and ponder the beauty of the gospel, it is beginning, it is the light of God beginning to break through in the world, first in your hearts, and then as it spreads out. As a matter of fact, following that Titus passage, Paul says that he encourages those who believe in God to devote themselves to good works, that in light of that beautiful truth of the gospel that I encourage us to ponder and sit with, good works are the fruit of that. Not haste. Good works, and resting in God our Savior. So I would be remiss as a good Anglican and my first time preaching here at the Cathedral Church to not quote C.S. Lewis. I feel like it is required, and I would lose my privileges as soon as I got down if I did not quote C.S. Lewis. I wrote this very quote on the cards I'm sending, or Christmas cards I'm sending out to our students, and I've been pondering it myself these last few days. In the last battle, the final book of the Chronicles of Narnia, One of the characters is talking to Aslan and talking about the monumentousness of Aslan and of the creation and his power. And he said a story from his own world. That's our world. He says, once in our world, in a stable, it held something that was bigger than our whole world. That's the mystery of the incarnation. That's the beauty of the gospel. And y'all, you might have missed Advent season. You might have devoted yourself so much to preparing your heart for Christmas, and you might just be showing up today and thinking, just be learning about Advent right now. That's okay, because guess what? Christmas is today. Pausing and pondering can start today. You don't have to have been here for the whole process to begin today. So I encourage you this Christmas morning, friends, pause and ponder the beauty of Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.